Well, joining us once again for his weekly chat, and that is Mr. Ken Bates. Morning, KB.
Morning.
How are you?
Very well, sun shining. Christmas. Wishing him well halfway. I think summer has finally arrived.
Well, we're certainly feeling a little bit of warmth over here, but at least at the moment, it'll be probably gone by tomorrow. Once again, quite a bit to talk about, KB, this week with Leeds United, and I suppose we better start with your thoughts on what we're calling the Leeds Six, which is these six Leeds United players at the end of last week that declared themselves injured for the game against Charlton. Leeds have come out and said that they were genuinely injured. It just seemed all a bit of a coincidence. The fans, of course, were extremely upset, and they made their voices heard during that game down there at the Valley against Charlton, that 2-1 loss. And even Neil Redfern saying the absence was a freakish set of events. I just wondering if we can get your thoughts on that, KB.
Well, there's so many versions or explanations that have come out. It is rather confusing, but the one thing that I have picked up from the transcript of Andrew Umber's interview with Phil Hay is he acknowledged that of the six players, three of them were injured or had a problem at the time they signed them, which makes you wonder why they signed them. Because normally you don't sign injured players, especially if they're serious ones. I'm just going through his thing about it. But, it's... In fact, the whole interview is a bit peculiar, and I can understand how Phil Hay tried to print it verbatim, so he couldn't be seen as a, you know, seen as a sort of a version which could be contradicted or disagreed. But as I say, I don't understand how you can possibly sign three of the players, which he acknowledged had long-term injuries, because presumably they're still costing salaries and they can't get rid of them. The other thing I found a bit contradictory in the interview is that Mr. Umbers was at pains to explain as though his chairman, really the operations of the club were split in two departments. One was the football side and one was the business side, and he concentrated on the business side. And the rest was left to Redfern and Salazar and Nicola. But then his observations were such that fairly obviously he was involved in the footballing side, which I can understand because I don't think you can separate them. They're interwoven. For example, can you sign an ex-player? Well, that's a business decision as well as a footballing decision. The footballing decision is do you want the player? The business decision is can we afford him? And again, I'm conscious of the fact that some of these young players, which again Leeds say everything's under control, but knowing how these agents operate, if they're at the end of their contract, there's nothing to stop them walking out. Now, it's true that since they are young, Leeds will get compensation from any club that takes them, as we found out to our cost in the past. That's not necessarily what the players are worth. And we were lucky when Chelsea stole three of our players, because we had proof, photographic proof and tapes and hotel receipts which showed that they had been taken down without our knowledge or consent. And that's why we managed to get £4.5 million in conversation, except to stop the matter going to court. And that went a long way, but not enough, unfortunately, to fact, reducing the money that the tax debt that we inherited from the previous think it's a dangerous game. And I'm not sure, of course, this is Mr. Numbers, as far as I know, first appointment as chairman. And I don't know whether he had any previous experience running a football club, but it does seem a bit puzzling how this has got to this state. And of course, there's a magnificent article by Henry Winter in the Telegraph this week about summing up how well the academy has done under Neil Redfern and his partner Lucy Ward. When we took over in 2005, the academy, like everything else, had been neglected. And Susanna, my wife, got very heavily involved in the academy, was instrumental in co-joining the academy to the club, because apart from that, before that, there were two separate entities. And we organised the initiative where the parents were got involved with the club and were recognised by the club for the work that they did in bringing on the young kids. And as I say, although Susanna was involved, that takes nothing away from Neil and Lucy. He did a marvellous job. And she used to start off by saying, with his speech, she would say, "Now most of you won't make it. Most of you won't make it. Only the best and the outstanding ones will. So you're going to have a really good work ethic to succeed. Don't think just because you can kick a ball about, you're going to play for England. You've got to work at it." And also, of course, we kept very strong monitoring of their educational work, so that if they didn't make it as a professional footballer, they wouldn't go on the scrap heap. They could then get a career somewhere else, in another field. These kids, the four kids that we're talking about at the moment, don't forget we have others coming through as well. And the great tragedy, of course, is we lost Tom Lees, who was another great player. But he was never the same after Warnock blamed him for giving the goal away at Hull and publicly castigating, which was disgraceful. But no, the Leeds United Academy is a great one. And something that Neil Redfern and Lucy should be very proud of. And Leeds United should be very grateful for the work they've done, which is even more concerning that their future is uncertain. Because if they do leave, I'm sure there'll be a queue of other clubs wanting them. And I'll give you one small example of how much Neil is thought of. Listeners may remember that when we had the award dinner at the end of the season, there was Best Player of the Year award, Best This, Best That, Best the Other. And I always used to do a Chairman's Award, which I gave to somebody who was not in the public eye, but somebody who nevertheless contributed a great deal to the club's well-being and success. And that one particularly, I gave it to Neil Redfern. What was amazing, all the rest of the management staff and players stood up as one man, one man and one woman, and applauded him, which then gave an indication of the strength of feeling and the high regard and respect they had for him. So I hope whatever uncertainty there is resolved soon. And I hope for Leeds' sake, Neil stays with a proper mandate and a proper term, because I believe with only moderate support he could get Leeds at least into the playoff places next season. But maybe without six Italians.
I think the concern, KB, is certainly from the fans' point of view, is that those young players that have been brought through the academy, that they will leave during the summer. As you say, that you know, a lot of Premier League clubs will be very, very interested in young talent like this. And from that same Q&A with Andrew Umbers, where he states Leeds United will not lose any of these young players, is that a dangerous statement to be making ahead of a summer transfer window?
Well, I think a better statement would have been, we have already renewed, because we've heard two, one or two have been resolved, and it will be informed in due course. Remember, the club's trying to sell season tickets for next year. I would have thought it'd been far more positive to say, and one or two or whatever have signed new contracts and name them. I think that's what the fans want to hear. Not being a bit like Father Christmas, bringing surprise out on Christmas Day. But again, we don't know what's going on behind the scenes, and of course, until Mr. Cellino's outstanding problems are resolved, one way or the other, the club's really in a bit of a limbo, isn't it? Because even though Mr. Umbers is the chairman, he's clearly beholden to the owner, and he, I suppose, also is in a difficult position, in a bit of limbo, not really knowing what's going to happen next, unless he's privy to Massimo's long-term planning. Certainly looking at the accounts, there's no doubt that he's put a lot of money into the club, and there's no doubt he's going to have to put a lot more until it balances his books. But at least all the stupid expenditure incurred by GFH has now been absorbed and resolved. What we've got now is four court cases still outstanding. They also need to be resolved sooner rather than later. Then there's, this number says, we have a clean sheet and go forward. And wipe the slate clean and go forward. And that's what I think everybody wants, including all of us at Radio Yorkshire.
Exactly right, KB. It's going to be an interesting last day of the season. I know that in that Q&A, Andrew Umbers is saying they're hoping for special dispensation for Massimo Cellino to be there at the last game. I'm not sure if that's going to happen, but there is a chance for Radio Yorkshire, the VIP box, for some listeners to actually be there and watch that last game in a bit of style.
Well, it will be, because hopefully we'll see the player do a lap of honour, in which they thank the fans. And the fans can applaud the players for the efforts throughout the season. And, of course, the way they do that is, as usual, with our competition to find out how much you know about Leeds United. So 10 lucky people will be there, enjoying the game in the luxurious surroundings of our fourth floor executive box, three-course meal, free drinks, and watching the build-up to the game on the big screen from Leeds UTV and Sky. And of course an opportunity to watch in the early match, if there is one, or late match, if there is one. Not sure whether they still do it, because of course the last game of the season used to be everybody kicked off at the same time, be on the safe side. So nobody knew what else was going on during the afternoon. Otherwise you had that, yeah, I remember that years and years and years ago, Coventry City and Bristol City were both in the old First Division, both fighting relegation, and for some unknown reason they kicked off late, and the other results came through, and it turned out that Coventry and Bristol only needed a point each to stay up. The last 20 minutes, this is true, they stood in the centre circle, just kicking the ball to each other, until the referee blew it. I mean, it was a total farce. And the referee blew his whistle. End of the game. Both teams got a point. Both teams stayed up. And wasn't very fair. But that's why they changed the rules. So I'm not sure whether there will be any late or early matches. But if not, there'll be all the build-up in this celebration. And then, of course, flashing around the country of how the rest of the league's gone on. So it should be a great game. Great day out. Great way to finish the season. And a great chance to have a view of Elland Road in all its glory, one of the best vantage points in the ground. So now, after all that build-up, you better bow down and you better try what the competition is.
Will do, KB. Okay, the question is this. It's pretty simple. Who scored their first goal for Leeds United during their home debut against Cardiff City? Is it A, Calvin Phillips, B, Lewis Cook, or is it C, Charlie Taylor? For your chance to win, just text YORKS, that's YORKS, followed by A, B, or C, to 84383. Your text costs £1 plus one standard message rate, and all the T's and C's are at radioyorkshire.co.uk. KB, we'll chat once more all about election on Monday. Looking forward to that.
And you too. Thank you. Let's hope we get 3 points.